Hello and welcome back to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. So on today's podcast, we're going to have a slightly different format from normal, and we're going to go into somewhat of a debate. And the topic for today's debate is language talent. Does it exist? Is it a meaningful concept? Is it a helpful concept? If so, how can it be measured? And with me to discuss this topic are two guests. One of them, who's already been on the podcast before, is Catherine, and she's currently a master's student studying translation studies at the University of Leeds. And my second guest is Yong Jun, who's also from China, and he is currently studying a PhD in the philosophy of language. So I thought it'd be really interesting to get them on the podcast. This is a topic I've discussed with each of them separately in the past, and I was really interested to explore their ideas more on this topic, because I know that they've each got interesting things to say and that our views differ somewhat, which will come out as the debate goes on. So the topic of today's discussion is language talent, or a gift for languages. Does it exist? Is it a meaningful concept? So I wrote a blog a few months ago outlining why I don't really think that it's meaningful to talk about a gift for languages or having language talent, and that some people are just good at learning languages and other people are not good at learning languages. And I laid out why I didn't think that was a meaningful concept. And I've discussed that and debated that with both of you separately at different points. So we all have different views on this topic, and I thought it would be really good to get you on the podcast to discuss this. So first of all, I want to start with you, Yong Jun, because we kind of disagree on this a little bit. So you don't really agree with me. You quite like using the term language talent. You think some people, in your experience, and you've learned English and German to a very high level, and you've also taught Chinese. Your experience suggests that some people have language talent and other people don't have language talent. Would you like to tell us a bit more about how you feel about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't say that I like that concept much. I mean, I think it's just a normal concept like any other concept, but I certainly wouldn't say that it's meaningless, because when people use that concept, I can understand quite clearly what they mean. And while I was teaching Chinese, I could certainly see a difference among my students. Some were just quicker to pick up certain things, be it pronunciation, be it grammar, and some would struggle more. So intuitively, I would say there is a thing which is language gift or language talent. Of course, it's hard to say, it's hard to pin down scientifically what exactly that is. Is it really wholly genetic, or is it more, or it's a mixture of, as you call it, nature and nurture? I'm open to that, but I think the concept itself has a clear meaning.
One of the reasons I was skeptical, and I wrote this in my blog about why I don't find it particularly meaningful, is because I think it's difficult to pin down what you're saying people are good at. I gave the example of when I first took my beginner course in Mandarin Chinese at the Confucius Institute, and this was 5 years ago. I went there with a friend initially, and I came out of that brimming with confidence and thinking I was really good at Chinese. And at the same time, my friend quit after about 3 lessons and decided he was rubbish at Chinese. And the reason for that was because the class, like many courses for adults in language learning nowadays, was structured around communicative methods, where we were encouraged to, from day one, repeat sentences, phrases, these really unfamiliar sounds in Chinese that we've never heard before. And we were just encouraged from day one to try and communicate in Chinese and repeat these and imitate these. And that was something that I just happened to really enjoy doing. My sense was that I was good at it. Like, that was probably quite deluded looking back. If I could hear myself the way I was repeating those phrases initially, then I'd probably cringe. But that was my sense, and I came out of that brimming with confidence, as I say. Whereas other people who were not good at that particular skill left thinking that they were useless. And I think this is one of the big problems, that in reality, then when I went off and actually learned Chinese seriously, I realized that to the extent that I had that skill of being able to repeat sounds that were unfamiliar and pick them up more quickly than other people around me, to the extent that I had that, it was of limited benefit when it came to all of the other areas of language learning, like memorizing characters, like becoming proficient in listening to be able to understand Mandarin. So I would find that I would go away and practice these words and phrases, imitate them with language exchange partners, and have no idea what they were saying back. So my conclusion overall is that, like, Language learning involves such a wide variety of different abilities. Clearly, we will all be good at different things. Some people will be better at imitating sounds than others. Some people will be better at memorizing characters than others. But it's all quite messy. I don't know whether you can say, like, you can pinpoint anything specific so that you could have a meaningful concept like language talent. So that's kind of where I would push back on your idea that you observed some people were better than others when you were teaching Mandarin. Well, yeah, they were better than others, presumably at specific things like imitating, like I just outlined. But does that mean that they were better at memorizing characters, for example? I mean, I don't see why there would be a correlation necessarily, but I want to bring Catherine in to comment. What do you think about what we've outlined so far?
I agree with you, basically. I also agree that the language talent, the thing exists. It does exist, I think. But it's a kind of combination of different abilities or different talents, if you say. Like, I do agree that people are good at different things. Like, and language learning just involves different things and different aspects. For example, just as you said, like, some people are good at picking up new sounds and others at maybe memorizing words. Yeah, it's very interesting is that it's more about how you come across. Like, for example, how you tell that a person is good at for example, language learning. It's, for example, if you speak with this person and maybe he's really good at speaking, or he can mimic several sounds like very clearly and perfectly, maybe you think that he's good at speaking in this way. But what about like other aspects, like which are more invisible in language learning process? So I think that can be hard to assess.
Actually, I mean, we can say of a lot of talents that they are, that it's a combination of a lot of skills, right? You say, let's take American football as an example. So somebody has speed and another person might have strength, and you wouldn't call these things talents, right? You say, okay, this person has strength. You can see he's got muscle, he's powerful, but that's not, that per se is not a talent. You say, oh, this guy is really gifted for American football. That statement does not mean that he's good at strength or he has good speed. It's a combination of a lot of things. Maybe he has good coordination. Maybe he's smart. He can observe more things on court. So my question is like, is it not true of every kind of talent that is a combination of everything? So what is the difference between language talent and these kind of talents?
I think you raise a really good point, which is that some of the criticisms that I bring up of the concept of language talent probably apply to talent and the concept of talent in general. Where I think it, in language learning, it can be damaging and unhelpful as a concept, is that there are lots of people who believe that they lack language talent because they initially had some negative experience, like my friend who came with me to a Chinese class, and he decided he was no good because he didn't respond well to that particular aspect that was prioritized at the beginning. There are loads of people that I meet all the time that, because they had similar experiences, conclude they just don't have language talent. So if there was some easy way of like really coming up with like a solid definition of what language talent was, and you could measure it precisely, even then I don't know what use it would be. But we don't have that, and so I don't know that it's meaningful, but also I don't think it's helpful for the reasons I've outlined.
And it's also about like how long the time period should be, like when you're assessing the result. For example, when you, at the moment that you'd say that this person is more talented, what would be the proper time to say that? What would be the proper time to make this statement? Because if you assess this then maybe like after a month, maybe the faster person would win out. But not so after about like 10 years. So still it's I think it's a kind of a combination of different abilities. So I think it's just hard to assess.
I agree, it's very hard to assess. I mean, and I have no clear answer to the question how long the time, the period of observation should be to assess language talent. Maybe if you ask me, I'll just off the top of my head, I would say 2 years. By 2 years, I mean a dedicated learner who would at least invest 2 to 3 hours a day to learn the language. And I think there would be a difference even after 10 years if they're doing the same amount of work.
But you can't prove that that's anything to do with language talent. I mean, even in the case of if you did like a scientific experiment, you subject two people to the same environment, the same learning methods, and over time you measure the outcome. who's better at by the end of a certain period in terms of their production of the language. Even if you're able to do that, then how you still can't show that if a different method hadn't been deployed, the results would be reversed, and the person who did worse, whose outcomes were worse in the experiment, would actually be better if they used different kind of methods that they responded better to. Well, I guess my problem is that in a whole series of different ways, this concept of language talent that you're outlining requires you to make all kinds of editorial judgments and value judgments about what goes into the definition. For example, like how long the period of time that you're measuring is, or what kind of you prioritize in the assessment of the outcomes. Is it listening ability, or do you prioritize more pronunciation? So all of these are, in the end, value judgments. Who gets to make these decisions? Who gets to decide which aspects of language are fundamentally more important than other aspects of language?
I mean, there's no, I wouldn't say that there's a certain ultimate authority on this, but you get a feeling, right? I just want to defend the intuitive meaning of this concept. I don't want to say, okay, there's a clear-cut scientific term which you can apply and which you can really make it, you can standardize, and then you can have a certain institution which you can decide, okay, you have that talent, you don't have. That's not what I mean.
I can sympathize with what you're trying to do because intuitively we all have this sense. I occasionally will come across language learners on the internet that are doing things that I just can't explain unless there is some kind of talent involved here. Like there are people who I have listened to speak multiple languages, including languages I'm familiar with, like for example, English and Spanish. And at least in the languages I'm familiar with, they're speaking it on a level, I would say, beyond a native speaker. Like Luca Lampariello is one example of this, where when I hear him speak English, I'm like, his English is at least as good as mine, probably better. And his Spanish is also out of this world. Like he speaks like a native speaker. I'm told by people his French is also like that. I speak some French. I can see that he's clearly a near native level. And his native language is Italian. And then there's a whole bunch of other languages he's on the same level at. And when you see these cases, it's difficult not to conclude there is some language talent involved here. It's one of those concepts that's difficult to define but easy to identify. Would you agree with that, Catherine?
I'm not sure, but yeah, I also agree that intuitively we would say that some people are better at language learning and they pick up languages more quickly than others. But I think there are many factors behind that, which I find it really difficult to pinpoint, because you can't do an experiment or something to control some factors. That would be extremely difficult to the extent that it would be impossible. Because you can't just track like everything the person is doing and then assess the outcome in a quantitative way or something like that. So I'm not sure. Like when we see the outcome, it's the outcomes can be really impressive, but you don't know. Maybe you don't know like what the person has done like to achieve this outcome. Like this part is very very hard to see and very hard to observe. Like, for example, if the person is like exposed to the language like 24/7, like every day and all day long, and then it would be easier for him to come across as a very high achieved language learner, like compared to an average person who's investing average time period to language learning. I think it's kind of hard to judge, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to like move on to discuss our personal specific experiences of being told we have language talent and whether we've experienced that ourselves. I'll start with my experience, which was that first of all, when you learn Chinese, the moment that you learn to say ni hao, everyone will tell you have language talent. Chinese people will all tell you that you have language talent. We've covered this partly. We've covered why this is the case in a different podcast, which is a lot to do with like the Chinese culture of politeness. But one thing that I found which was interesting was that for a long time in learning Chinese, I had an issue with tones, with my tones, which was because I'd never focused on tones. I've recently written a blog about this. My tones now are quite good because I've spent a lot of time and effort on them. When my tones were bad, I often got told, don't worry about them because it's a matter of talent, or some people have this, musical talent that, not everybody has, and, if you don't have it, just don't worry about it, we can still understand you. So that's what I was told when my tones were bad. Now that my tones are good, I will typically frequently be told by Chinese native speakers, oh, you must have music talent. You must have like a musical talent that w enabled you to pick up these tones. In the past, when people told me I was talented, I used to take that as a compliment. I now take it as an insult because I personally know how much effort and time I put into learning tones. So people are judging by the outcome. They're seeing that my tones are probably better than a lot of other Chinese learners, and they're concluding, oh, he must have music talent, he must be talented. I was recently told this by a university Chinese professor, Chinese man.
But of course, he might be right in that case.
No, I'm like absolutely clear on this. Like, the vast majority of people's tones are bad for a very good reason, and this was the same with me, the exact same reason why my tones were bad, which was that we're not really told what we're supposed to do at the beginning. Like, a lot of people are in the situation where they don't really know what they're supposed to do to pick up something as alien as tones. There are specific techniques that you need to deploy in order to learn tones, and we're not told what they are. So this is the reason, at least in my mind, why most people's tones are not very good in Chinese. And I've written extensively about this, but I think it has a lot more to do with that, because whenever I speak to people who have acquired tones, all of them are in the same position as me. They all put huge amounts of effort into doing that and deployed specific techniques. It wasn't that you had all these people who were doing the same things, and some of them came out with great tones and others came out with terrible tones. That's not the picture that I'm seeing here.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. Even there is a thing as talent, you still need to work hard. Probably, I think the outcome is more matter of work you put in than a matter of talent. You just need some talent and you need to put in work. It's not just talent. Talent does not guarantee you automatic mastery of any skills in a language.
Yeah, I also think, like, I agree that maybe some people are talented in some aspects of language learning, which can make them maybe quicker in picking up the language. But, like, maybe just as you said, maybe the concept is kind of overestimated in its importance in the whole thing of language learning. Maybe some people are like gifted in one or two skills. For example, that they have a better ear, maybe, or some people are better at some comprehension. But like, that shouldn't be the overwhelming factor, because, and especially when you can't judge, like you can't assess, like, for example, what you should be good at to be considered good at this language. Does it mean that you're good at writing or listening or speaking? All of those different aspects require different skills. And I think people can be good at specific skills, but like the concept of language talent is just too generalized or too broad for me.
Perfect. Okay, well, that's a great note to end on. So thank you very much, everybody. It's been a fascinating discussion, and I hope all our listeners have enjoyed that. So once again, thank you, Yongjun, for joining us, and Catherine as well.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be here.
Hey there, thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter, run by me and my friend Will Hart. We share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5 year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.